Your grace is amazing. Your love is never ending. And I want to take this moment to say, I love you, to say, I need. Amazing, your grace is amazing, your love is never ending, and I want to take this moment to say, I love you, to say, I need you, to say, forever be in my life.
He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Sometimes we forget that we have a voice. We have a voice that we can cry out in the name of Jesus.
Just the mention of your name.
This is your reminder that you do have a voice. Comes to mind when darkness overshadows me. There is a name that comes to heart when troubles surround me. Jesus. Truly, there is something about that name. The peace, the comfort, the joy, the encouragement, the mercy, the grace, all wrapped up in a single name, Jesus. Lord, thank you for your blessing. Lord, thank you for your encouragement. Thank you, Lord, for continuing to draw us closer and closer to you. Thank you, Father God, for all that you do for us day in and day out.
God, thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you, Lord, that you do wrap your loving arms around us. You do protect us and care for us. You are with us every single step of the way. No matter what we're doing, no matter what we're going through, no matter where we find ourselves, you are there with us. You are walking with us. In some cases, you are carrying us. God, we give you praise and thanks and glory and honor for that today. Lord, this morning we take a minute to lift Edwina up before you. Lord, you know the pain that her knees cause her. And Lord, we just pray right now in the name of Jesus for healing in her body. Lord, she's going in for a procedure this week. She's going in to do what the doctors have directed her to do. And Lord, we thank you for doctors and for their wisdom. But Lord, we know that all healing truly comes from you, Father God. And Lord, we pray for that healing today for her in the name of Jesus. Take away the pain. Take away the discomfort. Touch her, Lord, that she would be able to walk pain-free without any issues whatsoever, Lord God. We pray that you would minister to her flesh, Lord. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being here in your house this morning. And we pray that your will would be done in and through our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I have some incredibly good news for you this morning. If you have been with us for the last few weeks as we've been talking our way through the armor of God, I want to congratulate you because as of right now, you are half dressed. That's my good news for you this morning. You are half dressed. We have buckled the belt of truth around our waist. We have secured that breastplate of righteousness in place, and we have laced up the shoes of peace. In addition to talking through each of those pieces, I hope we're seeing how each piece depends on or complements the other pieces of the armor. They're not just individual things. They all work together. The armor's not meant to be worn one part at a time, but as a complete, as a whole unit. It works together in one piece. We are soldiers, and we have individual gifts and individual talents, but we too are designed to work together as one body, edifying one another, encouraging one another, building one another up. We are individuals, and God has gifted us individually, and we are powerful individually through Christ, but we are so much stronger when we come together as one and when we are a unit unified through Jesus Christ. We're going to talk more about that specifically regarding our piece of the armor this morning. We need to remember something else that we talked about though a couple of weeks ago. There's a foundation on which we are laid. There's a foundation on which we are to build. This whole discussion about armor and spiritual warfare and everything we've been going over has a specific foundation that it needs to be laid on. And the basics of that foundation are things we talk about over and over and over again. Prayer and reading the Word of God. Two very essential, very seemingly simple, basic parts. But that without them, the foundation is non-existent. It just isn't there. You know, you've heard and you've read scripture about building a house on the foundation or building it on sand. and it's built on sand, it just crumbles and falls apart. Well, that foundation that we're talking about is prayer and the Word of God. And daily, we have to be doing both. Pastor Kurt, you tell me that all the time. You're right, it's that important. We need to be reminded of it over and over and over again, myself included. I personally have made it a part of my life. One of the first things I do every day is spend time in the Word. That's one of my first, I get up, I get my shower, I get awake so I know what I'm reading. But then I sit down and I spend time in the Word because that is an important piece of the foundation in my life. Everything else builds on that. Everything else is, quite honestly, useless if we're not building it on that solid, firm foundation that we are supposed to plant it on. And that includes putting on that armor of God. We have to have that foundation in place. You know, another thing that I've said constantly is the armor has to be a complete set of armor, not just one piece. It bears repeating, we would not send any of our soldiers into battle wearing one piece of protective gear. They are clad head to toe, helmet and vests and boots, and all of that is incredibly important as they head off into specific strategic battles. And the same is true for our armor. We go into strategic battles, and if we don't have our full armor on, we're going in half-dressed. And that's a bad, bad thing. Bad thing. Armor needs to be put in place and ready for us every day. Let's read through our scripture again this morning. We are in Ephesians chapter 6. I've said this before, it bears repeating. I will read and reread and reread and reread the same scripture for us every week. That's how it gets into our head and our hearts, folks. That's why I redo it. That's why I don't just say, go look at Ephesians 6. I'm going to reread what we're talking about so that we have it fresh in our hearts. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in its place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Our next portion of armor that we need to talk about is the shield. Spiritually, it's called the shield of faith. Now, we're going to again look at some of the things that Paul saw while he was chained to the Roman soldier. That's how he got an up-close personal view of that armor, and that's how he was able to pass on that information to us. So we're going to take a look at this a little bit today. Sometimes when we look at or talk about or think about this shield that is referenced in Scripture, we think about a small little round shield. Does that look familiar to you? You Marvel fans would know that as Captain America's shield. But that small little tiny round shield is not what we're talking about. Other times some of us will envision the shield that it represents, a coat of arms. Our family history, if you dig back, will have a coat of arms that's attached to our family surnames. But again, that's a little, I say little, it's a little shield. That's not what the Roman soldier had. That's not what Paul had in mind when he started talking about the shield of faith. See, he, in his time with the soldier, learned that the shield they used was called the scutum. The scutum. It's a much larger shield, roughly about 30 inches wide, and it would be anywhere from 42 to 48 inches tall. So roughly 4 feet tall, 2.5 feet wide, 4 feet tall. Much bigger than those other shields we may have envisioned. This shield would have a slight curve to it. It was not flat or straight across, but it was designed to wrap around the body of the soldier. That's why it had a little bit of a curve to it. In the center, you would see that cup or bowl portion right in the center. That was actually called the boss. It was the boss of the shield. That's where the soldier's hand would be in the backside. So on the back of that shield is where that handhold would be. That's why that was there in the shield. This shield became incredibly important in a soldier's offensive attack or offensive standpoint. Now, we talked a little bit last week about defensive issues and offensive issues. Both of them are appropriate when we talk about our battle with the enemy. There's times we have to stand and defend, and there's times we have to be offensive and take back. This shield was incredibly useful when it came to that offensive side of things. The shield itself was typically made of wood. I mean, think about, first of all, the time frame, all right? They didn't have all the great machinery and stuff that we have today. But back in the time frame, this shield was made of wood, but then it would be covered with either canvas or leather. Why was it covered with canvas or leather? This you might find very interesting. Just prior to battle, the soldier would take that shield and submerge it in water so the canvas or the leather would get drenched, get completely soaked in water. Did it make the shield heavier? Yes, it made the shield heavier. But what was the real reason for doing that? Because that canvas or that leather would hold the moisture during the battle, and when fiery darts were shot at the soldier, they would stick into that wood shield, and the wet or moist canvas or leather would extinguish the flame on that arrow. That wasn't just a neat, cool saying in Scripture, folks. That was a legitimate defense mechanism for the Roman soldier. They would have that arched shield, they would cover it with leather or canvas, soak it in water, carry it into battle. And when the enemy would fire those darts, which they did, they would hit that shield and the flame would go out. They would not do the damage. The flame, the arrow, would not do the damage that they were designed to do. Now, those shields that the soldier carried, I want you to think about this for a minute, because all of this applies to us in our terms of our spiritual armor. Those shields would weigh about 20 pounds. Now, 20 pounds may not seem like a whole lot, but you try carrying that 20-pound shield around for a while. You try grabbing it and holding it up and running with it or moving with it or carrying it. It gets a little exhausting sometimes. You know, there's an element of truth to that when it comes to our spiritual shield of faith as well. Sometimes it gets heavy. Sometimes it gets exhausting. It's all the more reason we need each other, because we can help each other hold up that shield of faith. We can help each other keep it in place. I will also tell you that the more and more they carried around that shield, the more and more they raised it, the more and more they even practiced with it, the more and more they ran with it, the easier it got to keep that shield in place. How many of you have ever done any kind of weightlifting or training or anything of that nature? When you first start, it's rough. It's tired. I take 3 steps and my legs are exhausted. You know, eventually you start training and you can walk further, you can run further, you can do a marathon, all those different those that run like marathons, 20 miles plus, they didn't just wake up one morning and decide to go run the marathon. They've been training for months and months and years sometimes so that they are prepared for that battle, for that run. Same thing is true in this. The more we carry our shield, the more we get used to holding on to that shield, the easier and easier it becomes. There's another huge benefit to this particular shield and the design of this shield, the scutum that the Roman soldier used. It allowed them to form a very specific fighting group called a phalanx. Interesting name for a fighting group, isn't it? In this picture, you see they've also got spears. That wasn't always the case, but this was the kind of setup they would have. It would be a square or a rectangular setup of soldiers. The amount deep would vary depending on their formations and all kinds of stuff. But each soldier would have his own shield either out in front of him or up on top of him. And it would form this protective enclosure for the group of soldiers. That enclosure was called the testudo. Has its same roots in the idea, and sometimes has been called the tortoise formation, because it's got a shield or a shell all around them. You can see in that lower picture, it's out in front of them, it's up above them, but it created this enclosure for the entire group. Now, what was the enclosure? It was that curved shield made of wood with the saturated material on it. So what was coming at them? The fiery darts of the enemy. From what direction were they coming? It didn't matter. They were protected on all sides and across the top, all because of that shield. Interesting, is it not? All because of that shield. They were protective. They could move forward. They felt secure. They were happy with their circumstance in their position because of the shell or the shield that was all around them as they moved together in a united group, in a united front. Individuals, yes, but together, moving in the same direction, with the same goals, with the same ideas. Now let's talk about the spiritual side of our shield of faith. You know, Paul was not the first person to refer to having a shield of protection around us. It's probably the first reference we think of, but there are other references in Scripture that talk about a shield covering them. Two of them are in one is in Proverbs, but they say virtually the same thing. Psalm 18:30 and Proverbs 30, verse 5, Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. Seeking His protection, seeking His safety. He's that shield for us that we can get behind, that shield of faith that we can stand confidently behind. Do you see the visual here? Do you see what Paul was doing so much to describe to us in regards to that shield? You know, I said this once before, and I think it bears repeating. Paul, in our minds, was unfortunately chained to a Roman soldier and in prison. We just think that's horrific, and by all means, it certainly would not be fun. But God had him right where He needed him to be to write for us 2,000 years later what we needed to hear to understand what faith is all about. That's our God. That's the insight, the foresight, the thought that He has and how meticulously He plans things out. 2,000 plus years ago, God said, sorry, Paul, you're going to have to spend some time in prison, but Kurt's going to need it in 2024. And Paul said, okay. What is God asking you to do that might be needed in 2030 or 2050? We don't have a clue today, folks. The things that God asks us to do that have long-term impacts, not just for ourselves, but for people we may never know. Think about that. When God calls you or asks you to do something. We go a little bit further back in Scripture. Abram understood this whole concept as well. Genesis 15:1. The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. I am your shield, the shield of faith. Folks, when we pick up that shield and we're holding it, it's not the scutum. It's that shield of faith. And what is it? It's God right out in front of us. It's God right above us protecting us. It's God circled around us. It's trusting His word. It's believing in what He said. It's knowing the promises. It's having the Creator of the universe protecting us and keeping us safe. God was speaking to Abram, saying, I am your king, I am your treasure, I am your reward, I am your protector. And it's the same thing the God that doesn't change is saying to you and saying to me. I'm your reward. I'm your protector. I'm your shield of faith. Trust in me. Believe in me. Know that I am there. And when those darts come at you, which they will, I am there not only to catch them, but to extinguish them, to put them out. So they cannot do the damage they were intended to do. Psalm 3, 1 through 3. O Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. But you are a shield around me, O Lord. If that one's not highlighted in your scripture, highlight it. If you don't have that one memorized, memorize it. That one's one we need to know. Psalm 3, 1 through 3. You are a shield around me, O Lord. There's no question that Scripture talks to us long before Paul about a shield and God being a shield of protection. And even the reference to fiery darts would have been well understood by anybody that Paul shared this information with. And that should include us. We can see very easily how this applies not only to the Roman soldiers and their way of protection, but to us in our own personal lives. Remember what I said before, the enemy is great at trying to find the weak spot. If you don't have the full armor on, if you're wearing ill-fitted armor like that self-righteousness we talked about, the enemy can and will figure out what part of you is unprotected. And that's exactly where he is going to concentrate his efforts and do his work. Imagine that group of Roman soldiers, if you will, with all their shields out in front of them or over top of them. Imagine if one soldier in that group simply said, "I'm done, I don't care anymore," and dropped their shield or put it down. Where do you think the enemy would aim? Who do you think the enemy would go after? It's the same thing with us, individually and as a group. Drop one piece of armor. Get disconnected as a group. You know, this is one of the things that COVID was wicked on when it comes to churches. Churches closed down for a time being. We were asked to stay home, to social distance. Whether you agree with that or not is not the point. The fact is, people got comfortable being at home. People got comfortable being by themselves, watching service online. Thank you for tuning in if you're watching online. This isn't directed at you personally. But watching online is not the same as corporate fellowship. It is not. If you're sitting at home and you're watching it, great. You're getting the word. That's wonderful. There's a place for that. But it does not replace gathering together as a body of believers. It does not replace corporate fellowship. Scripture says, "Forsake not the gathering of the brethren." We are to be together, joined together. We do it typically once a week, but there's such an importance to being personally together, personally connected. There's a piece of that that you can never experience with an online, at-home type ministry. Again, no offense. Video ministry, at-home ministry has its place, and it's a wonderful thing. We participate in it. But that can't replace the gathering together. It's like one person potentially throwing that shield aside, and there's a hole in that unit. There's a hole in the armor. There's a hole in the group. And you know what happens with those Roman soldiers if there was a hole in that group? Not only would the arrow get in, the flame of the arrow got in. And the flame would spread from the inside out, so to speak. It's devastating. Devastating when one shield is missing. Hard stuff, isn't it? Please don't get mad at me for what I'm sharing with you. I'm trying to share with you Scripture, Paul's perspective of what he learned, what the Holy Spirit guided Paul to write. Dig into it for yourself. Don't trust what I'm telling you. Be more like the Bereans. Investigate this yourself and see if what I'm telling you is right. Because it's up to each of us to carry our shield, but to work together to help protect each other as well. Let's keep going. I talked about that shield being dipped or soaked in the water, right? So that it could extinguish those darts. Listen to this for a minute. John 8:38, Jesus speaking says, "Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, Streams of living water will flow from within him. If we don't realize it, that is a reference to the Holy Spirit. Where does the Holy Spirit dwell? In you and I. All right, let's think about so much stuff we've talked about this morning. There is a foundation on which we lay everything. That is the Word of God, and it is prayer. Whosoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, streams of living water, the Holy Spirit living inside us from the moment we accepted Christ as our Savior. What does the shield do? The shield protects us. How does it protect us? It catches the arrow, and the moisture in the shield puts out the flame. What is the moisture? The living water that is in you, which is the Holy Spirit. Folks, these are not individual, unique things. Scripture all fits together perfectly. It all comes together like these incredible building blocks, one on top of the next, developing this incredible fortress. It's not just a cute saying of Pastor Kurtz or somebody else's that we need to pray every day or we need to read every... There's a reason for it within Scripture. And Scripture gives us direction and instruction on what that is supposed to be. Our shield of faith is God. And the living water or the moisture is the Holy Spirit that lives within us. And the purpose is to put out the flaming arrows of the enemy. You see how it all comes together? You see how it all works, honestly, for our benefit? For us? God didn't do this for himself. He did it for you and I. Perhaps we should take a look just for a moment at this whole issue of faith. I mean, one of our best descriptions of faith, again, comes from Paul's writing in Scripture, his letter to the Hebrews. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. I'll keep using the same example I've used before. I never saw that big fish swallow Jonah and spit him out, but I believe it. I walk in the fact that that is truth and real and happened. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. When Paul wrote the letter to the Hebrews, he was encouraging his readers as much as he was encouraging us to hold on to what we know. How do we hold on to what we know? Make sure our feet are shod with that gospel of peace, right? The feet, remember we talked last week, the shoes that give us the traction, the ability to dig in, to stand firm. That's how we hold on to what we know. Don't go back to your old way of thinking. Don't go back to those old ideas that you had. But live in the new life that Christ has given you when you accepted him as Lord and Savior. Paul tells us through his word, through the Word of God, to stand firm in the truth of the Word so that all these other things can work together. You know, Scripture talks about being sure of what we hope for. We, at least here in our country, have skewed this word of hope. You know, we use it kind of as, I really hope that happens. Golly, I hope it's going to be okay. That's not where Scripture is going. Scripture is talking about a hope that is sure and firm and absolute. The hope that Scripture is talking about is the eternal security, the eternal hope that we have by putting our faith in Jesus Christ. I don't have to hope I'm going to get to heaven. I know I'm going to get to heaven because I trust in Jesus Christ. That's what Scripture is talking about when it refers to this idea of hope. It's not just this wishy-washy, I hope it all works out okay. That's not where it is going. Paul, Scripture, God is urging us to walk in the true confidence that we have in God's Word, despite the circumstances around us. And that's the part where, as human beings, we falter constantly. We judge what's happening, what's going on, our hope, our strength, all of that stuff on our circumstances. And God never said, judge it on your circumstances. God said, trust the word I've given you. God said, believe in me. God said, put your faith in front of you. He didn't say, well, you got laid off, that's it, it's all over now. Not much I can do for you. Oh, well, you foolishly spent your last dollar on that. Yeah, sorry, you're done. Our circumstances, folks, are not what make us. We may not like our circumstances. We may not like where we find ourselves from time to time. None of us do. But that doesn't mean we can't move through them with God's guidance and direction and help and support and provision. He is our shield of faith. He is urging us to stand firm in the Word, no matter what's going on around us. Let me give you a beautiful example of this idea of standing firm in faith despite your circumstances. We're not going to go through all the details of it because I know you know this particular account. You've read it many a times. You're very familiar with it. Back in Daniel chapter 3, there's a couple of guys called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they did something incredibly, incredibly faithful. They stood up and said, we're not going to bow to your false idol. We're not going to bow, O king, to this image you have made with your hands. I don't care what you do to me. I'm not giving up on what my God has told me to do. And my God said, don't bow to anybody else. You know how it goes. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fiery furnace. I can't help it, even at this moment right here, right now, VeggieTales is playing through my mind. Rack, Shack, and Benny. I can't get it out of my head. I'm going to read through just a small piece of this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up before us. They were standing firm on the foundation that they had laid. They were building on that. They had taken their shield of faith and they said, that's wrong. I'm not doing it. God's going to get me through one way or another. Here's the kicker, folks. We don't think about this way very often. We're afraid. We're not conditioned, whatever the case may be. But do we realize that death is actually a reward? For the believer in Jesus Christ, death is a reward. Did they want to die in that fiery furnace that day? Absolutely not. Do I want to die on my way home today? I would prefer not to. But our death is a reward. We get to go be face to face with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Rack Shack and Benny stood there and said, King, I'm not giving in to you. I'm not giving in to you. You can do whatever you want to do. And if I die physically, I die physically. But if I do, I'll be with my Creator. I'll be with the eternal King. We have to hold up our shield of faith, and we have to stand firm on the foundation that we have created, no matter what the circumstances might be. This is probably one of the best examples of that in all of Scripture for us. They didn't want to face the furnace. They stood their ground, and they unfortunately were thrown into the furnace. But because of their faith, because of their hope, their trust, they were saved yet again. This time physically. Oh, I have completely lost my place. You know, when they faced that furnace, they had no idea what the end result was going to be. You and I get the joy of reading it. You know, we think of the first time you read that scripture. Oh my word, what's going to happen? Oh no, they're getting thrown into the furnace. Oh, it's okay, they're safe. We had this emotional roller coaster the first time we read it, right? But we read it. We got to see the outcome. We knew what was going to happen. Now every time we talk about that scenario, we know what's going to happen. Walking through it, they had no clue what was going to happen. So I ask you, right here, right now, today, in your life, what furnace are you walking towards that you don't know what the outcome is going to be? There is some sort of furnace. Maybe you haven't bowed to an idol, but maybe there's something you're going through that's leading you towards a furnace of punishment, so to speak. I encourage you right now, hold on to that faith. Because it's a faith that'll give you the victory through the furnace. That's what gave Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego the victory. They had faith that God would protect them and save them as they honored God. So in your walk, in your voyage to whatever destination you think you're headed to, hold on solid to that shield of faith. And let it see you through. They stood firm. They raised their shield and they stood firm on what was absolutely right. Not what they thought might happen. Not they didn't just act it out, but they stood on what was right. They trusted God. They trusted that it would work out for them. But they trusted that no matter what, God would protect them. Now, again, we don't think this way, but I want to plant this seed in your mind. Even if they had died in that furnace, God still protected them. Because He would have brought them into His presence. And they would have stood there before Him. There's no greater protection than that, folks. Goes back to what I said a moment ago. Someday, when we die, that protection will be fulfilled because we'll be in His presence. We'll be safe for all eternity. This is an incredible example in Scripture that we simply cannot ignore. Lord, help me pick up where I need to pick up. Don't drop your shield of faith. Keep it held up. Keep it held strong. The enemy is going to come at you. I guarantee it. He's going to. It's simply the way it is. But we can face the enemy, and we can face whatever fiery darts he wants to throw at us if we are standing firm on our solid foundation with our shield of faith held in place. We can do it. You know, when you feel like you can't go any further and you have to give up, you know who you're giving the victory to? The enemy. He's the one who's convinced you you have to give up. He's the one who's convinced you you can't go any further. You can take another step with the shield of faith in its place out before you. You can keep moving with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with the shoes of peace laced up and tied tightly. We can live and move and walk in the faith that God has given us. All we have to do is trust in Him. Let me give you one more quick note as we wrap things up. There's a portion of our text in Ephesians, verse 16, that says this. It says, in addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. In addition to this, putting on the armor, the protective pieces, is one part of our mission. Taking up that shield of faith and realizing that we can move out in that armor is a whole nother level, folks. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So if we have our armor on, but don't have our shield of faith, we're still not pleasing God. Oh, but God, I got salvation and the breastplate and my shoes. But you don't have the shield on. The shield of faith. Without it, it is impossible to please God. Proverbs 16:7. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies live at peace with him. When a man's ways are pleasing to himself and his office and all the people around him, it's completely useless. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even the enemies live in peace with him. Take up the shield of faith. It is our protective shell. It goes in front of us. It wraps around us. It can be lifted up over us. As a group, we can be in that tortoise formation, keeping each other safe and charging forward to take back what the enemy has tried to take from us. The shield of faith, our protective shell. Lord, help us to understand how vital each piece of this armor truly is. How each piece functions and works and connects with each other to make a whole, complete, protective environment for us. God, help us to understand how one word, one sentence, one phrase from your Scripture ties together perfectly with the rest of Scripture to give us the guidance that we need to live life the way we need to live it for your glory and honor. God, we're not supposed to live by one word or one sentence. We're supposed to live by the entirety of your word. Help us to do that, Lord. Help us to understand your Scripture, your love letter to us, your direction to us. Help us to apply it to our lives. God, some of us are weak and weary. We need some help here today, right now, to pick up that shield once again. It's feeling heavy this morning, Lord, but you can give us the strength to pick it up and to be ready for the next attack, the next wave, the next round that comes at us. God, help us to pick up the shield of faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
We are a moment, you are forever, Lord of the ages, God before time. We are a vapor, you are eternal, love everlasting, reigning on high. Holy, holy Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Be unto your name. We are the broken, you are the healer, Jesus Redeemer, mighty to save. You are a love song we sing forever, bowing before you, blessing your name. Holy, holy Lord God Almighty, be